Amen. All right. Today, I want to talk to you about vision again. This is our third Sunday where I'm preaching about vision. And I want to talk to you about urgency of vision. Urgency of vision. What is vision? It is an ability to imagine future, to see where you're going and what's up the road ahead. Vision is ability to see opportunities within your current circumstances. It's being able to see potholes with an ability to drive around them instead of driving in them. You know, a lot of us get into lots of trouble because we ignore a gift that God gave every human being, and it's called vision. Sometimes we just live in today, and we say, if we go to a store and somebody offers us a credit card, we say yes, because we don't have vision. When somebody says, you can qualify for 500,000 credit for a home, and we say, yeah, I make 20,000, but I'm not thinking about the future. You know, you got to live in today type thing. And so we go and buy things we can't afford to impress people we don't like. Right? And then we end up paying for those things. And then we complain and saying, God, where are you? I usually tell people, imagine if you made what you make today, but you didn't have any debt. Where would you be? How stressed would you be? People say, well, if I didn't have any debt and I made what I made today, I would be rich. I would be able to give. Right? God wants us to use a tool called vision, able to see the future so we can ride around potholes. Life will have storms, but if you envision those storms and build your house on a rock, on a solid foundation, your house will stand when those storms come. Want it or not, it's going to rain. Want it or not, if you start confessing, I believe it's not going to rain, it's not going to rain. I believe God is going to bless me and it's not going to rain. It's going to rain. But if your house is on a rock, you can be in your warm house and know that it's not going to fall. But if your house is built on the sand, all these world philosophies and theologies and all kinds of things, that house, there's so many of them, they're like sand. And they change all the time, they move. When the rain comes, they move. New season come, they move. God wants us to build a house on the rock. And that means you're going to have to use vision. You're going to have to use vision in your life. You know that organization can't achieve success without vision. Your personal life cannot achieve success without vision. Your work, your business, your career, if it has no vision, where are you going? How do you know when you get there? Life without vision is boring, depressing. Usually men, how many of you heard of this midlife crisis? When men go through midlife crisis, usually they about achieved everything they wanted in life. Right? They probably have a career by then. Their children are growing up already. And now they're kind of standing there and thinking, what should I do with my life? Is this all there is? See, no vision. See, God says, I have a vision so big for you, it's like sand on the seashore. That's what God says. So you'll never run out. You'll never run dry. Satan says, don't worry about tomorrow. Just live in today and that's it. See, we shouldn't worry about tomorrow, but we should plan for tomorrow. Amen. Bible says, even when they're old, they're fruitful. That's what I want to be. So I have a vision for 30 years of my life, next 30 years of my life. Hallelujah. I have a vision for 30 years of our church. Amen. I want to read Luke 19:10. Guys, if you could put it up on the screen, Luke 19:10. It says this, for the Son of Man, read it with me. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. Talking about the urgency of vision. 2 months ago, my little daughter, I had this craving for Diet Coke in the middle of the night. Okay? About like 9 p.m. Okay? 9 p.m. and I'm like, I need to have a 32 ounce. Right? I was doing good all day. I was doing good. I had this urge. So I'm in my pajama pants, and I'm like, I'm going to the gas station. And my kids, they love going to the gas station with me, because when they go with me, if I buy some for myself and not buy some for them, you know how it is, right? And so they go with me, and Abby says, I'm going to go with you, Dad. I'm like, fine. I'm like, if you can dress fast enough to get in my car before I drive out, you know, because I'm fast. I have this urge. I've been holding on. And so I jump into my car, and she runs in. You know, you're not going to say no to your daughter. We're driving to the gas station, and it's about 6 miles from my home. We're driving by on the east side, Red Rock Bar, right? How many of you know that bar on the east side? And so I'm driving by that bar, and here we see a car in a ditch engulfed in flames. Yeah. It hit the ditch nose forward, and it started burning on the front of the car. And guess which way the wind is blowing? Towards the back of it. So we pulled over. We get out of the car. There's some other people pulled over. And usually in my trunk, I have a hammer. Wish I had a baseball bat. It would be better. But it was a hammer. And so without even thinking much, I put work gloves on. I get out of the car, and I run towards the vehicle, because this car is in a ditch. The windows are closed. There's smoke inside. It crashed in a ditch, so the front end is damaged. And we don't know if anybody's inside. So here you have two options. You just look around. Huh, cool. This car is burning, right? Or you can say, I'm going to do something about it. See, we don't think about being heroes at that moment. We just think, what if there's somebody in there? What if there's a girl with a baby, a woman with a baby in there? Right? And so I grabbed that hammer. I ran to the car, and here it's burning and smoking towards the back. So the windows are like all dark because of smoke. I take the hammer, hit it, nothing. Hit the glass, nothing. The doors are closed. Hit it again, nothing. The guy is standing next to me. Give it to me. He goes, whack. I was being more careful, you know. You don't want to go, you know, you don't want something to blow at you. So I was going to. Still got to use wisdom, right? Don't run into the fire. And here's my daughter standing. I'm yelling, go back, because it could blow, you know. It's. The guy breaks the window, looks inside. Anybody there? Anybody there? Opens the door through the inside, smoke everywhere. Thank God there was nobody there. Thank God. Otherwise, they would have burned. They would have burned. By the time fire department came in, by the time they, you know, they were just like, we were like standing in the distance. They were walking by a burning car. I'm like, there's gasoline in it. Aren't you afraid of it blowing? They're like, we got this, sir. We got this. Sometimes, the reason I told you this story, because sometimes situation is urgent and you can't think, I can do something about it tomorrow. Sometimes you get one opportunity in life to change somebody's life, and you can't say, I'm going to just watch and wait to see what everybody else is going to do. I don't want to get hurt. I don't want, you know, smoke to get my clothes dirty, right, or smelly. I got to get my Diet Coke. I have a plan. I'm going somewhere. Sometimes you just gotta, the urgency of situation, sometimes you just gotta act. I remember a young man who came to this church about a year ago, and then he disappeared for about 6 months. And then I saw his brother came in for about 2 weeks. And then they call me and say, our oldest brother has died. My oldest brother committed suicide. Why is it that we begin to care so much about people? And they are asking me, where did he go, Pastor? How did he die? Was he a believer? I don't know much about him. See, sometimes we only have one opportunity to impact somebody's life. What are we going to do? Are we going to go ahead and live our life? Or when we see a car burning, are we going to go and save somebody? I'm talking about spiritual salvation now. We all have people we see. We all have people we meet. The context that we make, what are we going to do? Are we going to help save them, or are we going to just go our way? I want to show you another video, guys. If we could play the second video. Let's turn the lights off. Pay attention to the guy in a suit. Guy on the left in a suit. Watch the guy in the suit on the left. Watch that guy in the left top corner. Thank you, guys. You know, sometimes I watched that video on the news once, and I thought to myself, could it be us Christians sometimes when we see somebody is burning, somebody is in trouble, somebody is trapped somewhere, and we just like the guy in the suit, religious guy. We say, well, I don't want to get dirty. Let these other people go and save that guy. I'm in a suit. He shouldn't have been driving that fast. He shouldn't have been driving carelessly. He gets what he deserves. Listen, Jesus doesn't pay us based on what we deserve. We would all be dead. He pays us by his grace because he loves us. He loves people. And so that brings me to the point number one, because we're talking about vision, right? And today I want to talk about new life vision. Hallelujah. What do we believe God wants to do through this church? I want those images to stick in your head throughout this whole sermon. Am I going to be the person standing by? I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Or am I going to get dirty? Maybe even burned a little bit to save somebody's life. What does God want New Life Church to look like? I believe that God wants us to be a church who reaches people who are far from God. That's what I believe. I believe that this is a fact, that 70% of Sioux Falls don't go to church on Sunday. They need Jesus. I believe our church is called to reach those who were lost. I remember when we started this church, we were going to a great church. Tanya and I was a youth leader in that church, youth pastor in that church. I was a piano player for 12 years in that church. And we weren't reaching the lost. We were just, reaching our own. Our vision was not that we're going to reach the lost. And I remember the passion that God gave me that's been burning through all these years. God, these people are saved, but these people are dying. What happens to them when they die? Without you. And I remember the passion that we had. God, we want to reach people who are far from you. That's why we gave our church the name New Life Church, which means new beginning, new start, new birth, church of second chances. Our assignment is clear. When we have 70% of people in Sioux Falls area not going to church on a regular basis, our assignment is clear. Our goal is never to go and steal other members from other churches. Our goal is to reach people who are lost. And I believe New Life, we're doing that. But we're going to be way more successful as we continue to do what God called us to do. You know, I remember one day when we started this church, to one serve, we didn't know how to plant a church. We just said, we got passion, not a lot of wisdom yet, you know, just a lot of young passion. We can do this. We can reach the city for Jesus. One day we came to church and it was just me and Tanya. And we were the worship leaders and pastors together. So I played, sang, and preached, and collected the offering. And one day, we came in, and we're like, okay, it's 10 minutes past, and nobody's here. I think, what should we do? Should we close the doors and say, we're done with this church thing? Maybe it wasn't God. But we said, you know what? Why don't we just go and lead worship, collect the offering, and I'll preach to you, and we'll go home. And I remember I sat on that piano over there, discouraged, playing and singing, shout to the Lord all the earth. I wasn't shouting. I was just singing. I was shouting. And I closed my eyes because I didn't want to see this. This was like, what's her name? Hagar in a desert. No water. She doesn't want to see her son die. She doesn't want to see her baby die. So she closes her eyes. And God says, open your eyes. And when we opened our eyes, there was about 10 people in the front row standing there. And we're like, thank you, Lord. We don't have to close anymore. So and then God started growing us. In the last year and a half, we've more than doubled. God is doing amazing things through this church. If we double in another year, my goodness, there will be no room here. Amen. And our goal, we have been faithful to our goal. Our goal is to reach people who are far from God. I'm even thinking about going to clubs to reach people for Jesus. Yeah, not to get drunk, of course, Andre. Come on. Andre's like, yes, I'm going with you, man. Let's reach him, man. Amen, amen. Luke 5:31 and 32, guys, put that on the screen. It says, Jesus answered and said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician. But those who are sick, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Our goal is to reach people. And you know what? We can't do it without you. If you've been saved for more than 3 months, your job is to reach people who are far from God. Your job is to go and invite somebody in who is far from God. Your question should be, do you go to church? If they say no, say, hey, come to mine. And start telling them about it. Usually I say, don't evangelize, advertise. Tell them about our awesome band and your awesome preacher with an accent. Hallelujah. Amen. And once they come here, I know they will hear the word of Jesus. And it will touch their heart and they will be saved. The best thing in life for me, and I believe for every Christian, is seeing somebody who was lost, who was trapped in addictions and sins and other things, coming alive. Sometimes I see people come and they're down and depressed and there's a shade of grays on them. And then as they begin to, okay, that was a shade, start coming down from people. And before you know it, they're happy. They begin to come alive. You know, if you're stuck in your life and you don't know where you're going and you're a Christian, one of your goals should be, I am bringing people who are far from God closer to Jesus. You know what? Imagine, hypothetically, you were on a boat. And a boat in the middle of the ocean, deep sea fishing. And you were with a whole bunch of guys or gals, whatever. I don't know if gals will do that, but guys. I love fishing, so I get excited about that. In March, I'm going again. Hallelujah. So I'm counting the days. But imagine you were on a boat. And the boat in the middle of the ocean began to sink. Right? And another boat came in and rescued you. And there was your friends, buddies, who you were sinking with together, still sinking. And you're looking at them and saying, huh, I'm comfortable here. Wouldn't it be a human thing to reach and grab their hand and just like you were saved, save somebody else? How do you know you're really saved? And I'm going to say this boldly, so don't judge me. Saved people save people. You can clap here. Yeah, thank you. That brother, I appreciate it. We got one. Listen to me. Saved people save people. Our vision here is not to raise money. It's not to be a club. is not to be a place where we get alone and go to lunch together and have relationships. Yes, that's part of it. But our number one vision is bringing people who are far from God. And guys, you've been doing a great job. Look around. You've been doing a great job. Hallelujah. I'm excited because there were Sundays that there was just two rows here. And God has been growing us. And God has been making us fruitful. And we've been seeing miracles of God. I get reports. We pray for people. And they call me and email me and say, thank you for your prayer. It's working. You were praying for my friend and God did something. I know a real God. I know who he is. He's alive and he's an awesome God. Hallelujah. Point number two. God wants New Life to be a big church. Yeah. I know some of you are like, Pastor, I love the small church feel. That's awesome. I do too, because I know everybody. We can go out sometimes on, you know, we hang out all the time and things like that. But we can't forget our vision. Bringing people who are far from God. We are not making this church a club where we love each other and hang out, love to hang out with each other. We want to bring people who are far from God. Imagine you owned a restaurant and you're like, I love our food. We don't need to open the door today. Right? Isn't your whole purpose to feed the people? How long can you survive when you don't feed people? You're going to die. Your restaurant is going to go out of business if you love your food, but nobody else is eating it. Amen? So God wants us to be a big church. How do I know this? Because the Bible says so. Jesus called 12 disciples, right? Later, we see Jesus send out his disciples 2 by 2, 70 of them. Do you remember that? On a day of Pentecost, there was 120 together. On that day when Holy Spirit fell upon the church and they began to speak in tongues and prophesy and all that craziness happened, 3,000 people were added to the church in one day, baptized. Whew. I dream of one day baptizing 100 people. Maybe 500 people. Hallelujah. We can do it, church. See, and it's not me who is doing it. It's us. We're the body. A mouth without a body is no good. So when you see lives changed, when you see people coming to Jesus, that's not me. That's you. The whole body gets excited. Amen? Hallelujah. And so from 3,000, Bible says they were multiplying daily. And history tells us the Jerusalem church was about 20,000 people in let's say, 5 years. 20,000 people church. Tell me, Book of Acts, is it a model for us or no? It is a model for us. So if God grew his church that fast, and we're not saying he should do the same thing with us because he has different timing, but the point is that he wants his church to grow and more people come into Jesus. Hallelujah. Why? Why should we try to reach people for Jesus? Why should we try to pull people out when they're burning, when they're trapped in their sins, when things are, and you know what? I'm not a condemnation preacher. So when I say sins destroy people, as a pastor, I see it all the time. It's not God who destroys people. It's sin who destroys people. I was talking to a brother a while back, and I've talked to many people, and he said, I'm trying to quit smoking. Now, smoking, is a sin or no? You know, that's one of those things, addiction. It's something that's bad for you. And he said he was smoking, and he was broke. He didn't have a car and things like that, and things were going bad for him. And he said, I'm stopping smoking. And I said, how much do you smoke? He said, about $8 a day. 8 times 31. Anybody wants to take a stab at that? 248. How much? 248. Can you get a car loan for 248? Yeah. See, sometimes we think sin is good, but it's really taking things away. DWI, you know, drinking, partying, that's all awesome. But there's a price to pay. What, you don't want me to have fun in my life? Yeah, I want you to have fun. But see, sometimes people have fun in a short period and pay for it for years. Or you can have fun that's just gradual. Amen. But see, no, if we have no vision, I want it now. I want to have my fun now. I don't care about tomorrow. Why does God want this church to be a big church? Because he wants to see thousands of people come to Jesus. You know what? If we say we're spiritual, because usually small churches have this tendency to say about themselves, we're spiritual. We pray more. We're deeper. Listen, if my deepness does not reach a person who is lost, I'm like the guy in a suit who's watching a fire and going, I want to show that video again. Come on, guys. Show that video again. Can I show you just like 20 seconds, guys? Turn the lights off. Look at the guy in his suit this time. Look at that girl trying to lift it herself. Look at the guy in his suit. Might as well pick your nose. Guy in a suit. What is he doing? All right, thank you guys. Hallelujah. How many of you getting this? Amen. I don't preach this a lot. I should more often, but today I just wanted to take time and tell you why we do what we do. Because we're here because we were saved. We were one of those people. And somebody told us about Jesus. And you know what? That's been the best decision that I responded to. When God said, would you follow me? And I said, yes. That's been the best decision of my life. For my family, for my kids. Now I'm teaching them about Jesus. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? You guys need to get excited. I mean, I'm excited. Jesus said, I have come to seek and save that which was lost. I came to seek them. Where are they? The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pastor, I don't know. I don't know how to talk to people. Just invite them. Just advertise. Say, come to my church. Check this out. You like it. You know, people have fear of coming to the church. But once they come to our church, most of them will say, I love it. Amen. I have a fear of going to a new church myself. Seriously. I'm like, I don't know anybody. You know, it's that weird feeling. You know how it is. You don't know anybody, and there's this group of people. They all know each other. But guess what? I got to go outside my comfort. I got to get my suit dirty and do something to save people who are far from God. I want you to remember this quote. I want us to post it all over bathrooms everywhere. Saved people save people. I want you to put it on your bathroom mirror. Saved people save people. You want to know how passionate you are for God? You want to know how really spiritual you are or not? Saved people save people. You know, I usually tell people you should have at least one person that you're working for a year to bring closer to Jesus. You should come to church and say, this year I brought that person. And they're growing. Amen? Amen. I know my brother Eli, he owns a small business, and he had an employee that was working for him. And Eli would sing a lot at work, right? So his employee tells us now that he thought he was on drugs. And then he, in the middle of the job, he would jump in his car and drive away for about 30, 40 minutes and then come back. See, he didn't know that Eli was going to do estimates, you know. When somebody calls him, he goes for an estimate, right? And then comes back. And he's like, this guy's crazy. He's like, You know Eli, the worship leader. And so he would sing with earbuds in him. And then Eli said, listen, I want you to come to my church. And he's like, what? This guy goes to church? What kind of church does he go to? They pass the peace there. And so he invites him. And this guy has been walking away from God for a while. And he comes and he brings his girlfriend. And you know who I'm talking about. They get married here. They have children now. He's one of the leaders in the church. He's one of the leaders in this church. It's a good feeling, I imagine, to see people who are far from God come and fall in love with Jesus. And now it's not your Jesus that they're serving. They're serving their Jesus. Best feeling in the world. If you have brought somebody to church and they are here today and they're serving Jesus and they're passionate for Him, that's a great feeling. You want to repeat that. You want to repeat that. Amen? Hallelujah. So we want all of you to consider bringing one person who stays this year. Bring him who people who are far from God closer to Jesus. Hallelujah. I see us having a church that has multiple services. I don't know when that's going to happen. Where you can serve in one service, you know, maybe kids' church, and you don't have to miss a service because you can go to the next service. Or you can go to an early service and then serve the next service. Service is only 1 hour and 10 minutes. I mean, it's not that long. But you don't have to miss one or the other. Amen? Hallelujah. I see a church that reaches thousands of people, that's for sure. But I see a church that has thousands, maybe 1,000 people plus church that we are gathering on every Sunday. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I see New Life as being a church of all races, all nations, all kinds of social and financial statuses. I don't want to be church for middle class only. Or for the rich only, or for the poor only. No, we want to be the church that reaches all social statuses. That we're able to give. We're a giving church. I see a church that's relevant for the whole family. Because Jesus was relevant. We want to be a church your kids and your teenagers love to attend. We're saved. I know nobody's going to mess up my faith. But you know what? Our kids are a different story. So that's why we have loud music. That's why we do videos. That's why we have a crazy youth service. So we can reach young people. And our youth pastor is doing such an amazing job. And his team reaching people. I mean, they love the youth services. They're excited. They're posting pictures on Facebook of things happening. I'm like, man, I wish I went. Laser tag. Why didn't we do that when we were young? You know? Hallelujah. I see them ice skating all the time. I see them play games, volleyball in the summer all the time. That's what it's all about. I want to be the church that not just, you know, some churches, I heard somebody tell me, that church's attendance is 70-year-old average attendance. I don't want to be that kind of church. I want old and young worshiping together. I don't want to be the church just where old people feel comfortable because we sing the songs that were sang 50 years ago or 100 years ago. Now, we want old people. They got the money. Kidding. We want the old people because they got wisdom. Amen. Right? Young people, we got passion. But older people have wisdom. And, of course, you know, that wisdom brings... Hallelujah. Being goofy again. Stop that, Pastor Alex. Ain't nobody got time for that. That's right. Hallelujah. We want to be a church that has relevant preaching. And I believe our church preaching is pretty relevant. I've heard somebody say, Pastor, you're the most relevant preacher I've ever heard. And you tackle deep subjects. I'm like, yeah, that's what I want to do. I want to be funny. I want to tickle you. And then when you're laughing, ha, 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 I want to feed you. The medicine. Stick it in your mouth. Too bad you ate it already. Give you some whoop. No, just... Hallelujah. We want to be the church that has contemporary worship. And the reason we do that so we can reach people who are younger. Like I said, when we've been saved for a long time, you know, nobody's moving us away from Jesus. But younger people, we want to be relevant to them. But I do love old songs. So maybe someday we'll have so many services that one of our services will be like where we sing these old, not hymns, but shout to the Lord, you know. We haven't sung that for a long time. Okay. All right. Hallelujah. We want to be the church that cares for your whole family. We want to be a church that inspires you to have a happy marriage and stick it out. We provide premarital classes. We provide marital counseling for our members. We provide, couples nights. Every 2 months we have a couples night, and people are like, well, our marriage is doing good, but I need to go to couples night. You know, my dad used to say, you don't start changing oil in your car when the engine blew up. You know, that's not going to do any good. A lot of people are like, we don't need this classes that church provides, marriage things. But when things go bad, they're like, fix us. I'm like, I can't fix you. You blew up the engine. The gasket is out. Rod in your block. That's it. You know, it's going to take some time. So we provide these classes so people can go and build relationships and grow. Tanya and I preach at those classes, teach how to have a great marriage. And we're not perfect, but, you know, we read books and we teach. God wants you to raise godly children. So we want to inspire you by teaching that having a family church is also important as going to church. Every Wednesday night, my family, every Wednesday night, we have home church, we call it. We sing a song. If we run out of songs, we take our computer, go on YouTube and find a worship song with words on it. And it's almost like church, right? We have words on TV and we sing together. And Tanya gets up and she starts preaching. And then I tell her, sit down, it's my turn. Kidding. My daughter leads worship. My son is the usher. He begins the service. Let's pray. Welcome Abby, you know, and welcome Pastor Alex, you know, and he's the person who, you know, it's awesome. God wants you to raise godly children. Church is not enough. 1 hour a week is not enough. The world has 70 hours a week of television that it imparts its wisdom. We have to do better. We want to be a church that teaches you to be out of debt. We used to be in crazy debt. I know what it's like. And I know what it's like to be debt free. Hallelujah. God wants you to be healthy. He wants you to have healthy relationships. He wants you to take vacations as a family. In Israel, it was commanded. God commanded in Israel, man, to take 3 vacations, 7 days each, every year. It was a command. Yeah, you need to take vacations. We don't have any money. Well, find some. Save some. Well, you don't have to go far. You can go close. You can go camping. Amen. Hallelujah. After vacation, you'll be refreshed. You'll feel more spiritual. Depression will leave you. Amen. Hallelujah. God wants you to be volunteer, to serve. Jesus said, I came to serve. You want to be great? Become a servant. That's all possible. And we're here to inspire you. So we're not here just to bring people to Jesus and say, that's it, you're good. No, we want to inspire you to be the light, to be the salt in this world. Hallelujah. And it's a great feeling. Praise God. We want you to be generous. The Bible says, when you were a heathen, you used to steal. But now, you don't have to steal anymore because you work with your own hands. You're actually able to give to those who are in need. That's what Christ does in our life. Now, it doesn't happen overnight. Sometimes it's a year. Sometimes it's 2. Whatever time it takes, God wants you to be a giver, not a taker. It's better to give than to receive. Jesus said, I have come to give you life to the fullest. New Life is here to inspire you to reach your friends and reach this community. And we're here to inspire you for all these good works as well.
Hallelujah.
Last year I said something, and I got 3 minutes. I want to be the church that helps people find jobs. We haven't fulfilled that yet. On some levels, you know, we've tried. But I want to be the church that helps people, not just feeds people. There's organizations in Sioux Falls area that do that very well. And we are partnering with some of them and giving money there because we don't want to compete with them. We want them to do what they're good at. But I want to be a place someday where we have offices where we help people find jobs. I want to be a place where we have maybe school or something like that to train people in business. If you feel like God is calling you to business, you don't know where to start, how to start, we have business people in this church who would help you, who will show you a way how to get going in that so you can achieve your maximum potential. So you are a giver. Hallelujah. How do I want this church to be known in community? How do we want to be known in community? We want to be, number one, the friendliest church in Sioux Falls. You know, the churches are not built because a pastor preaches a good message. They're built in the lobby before the service and after the service. It's people connecting with one another, knitting together in love, connecting to each other with love. Hallelujah. I want to be the church where teenagers and kids love to attend. We want to be the church where messages are relevant, where there's a lot of marriages and babies being born. Amen. Church where Jesus is worshiped passionately, not where standing and the worship team is leading. I want to be passionate church. I want us to raise hands and shout hallelujah, praise the Lord, shout amen. I want it to be a live church, amen, where we raise hands. Church that raises leaders. Church where pastors have time and care for their people. Church where people become successful and prosper. That's what I want to see. Because when God comes in, you should not be the same you were a year ago, 2 years ago. I know it. When God comes in, everything changes, and including your finances. Everything changes. Yeah, I stopped sinning less, but my finances suck. No, everything. It's the whole pie thing. He comes and works on every level of your life. He doesn't fix one cylinder in a car. He fixes all 8 of them. So they all work in unison, you know, in the right order. Hallelujah. All right, 40 minutes, stand to your feet. What can I do, Pastor Alex? How can I help become a part of the vision? I'm saved, and I understand that saved people save people. You can do this. You can be a casual evangelist. Don't evangelize. Don't be too spiritual with people. Just advertise. Come see. That's all you have to do. Another thing you can do, you can give your testimony and tell people what happened to you since you've been truly surrendered to Jesus Christ. Tell people what your life has been like. Don't tell them everything is perfect, because I know it's not and you know it's not. I still struggle sometimes, but I'm better than where I used to be. And I'm not the same person that I used to be. And if people say, yeah, didn't you used to do this and that? You say, yes, I did. Didn't you used to sell drugs? Yeah, but look at me now. Now I'm an evangelist for Jesus. Didn't you used to run around, sleep around? Yeah, that was me, but look at me now. Didn't you used to be an alcoholic and drug addicted? Yeah, but look at me now. Yeah, I still fall sometimes. Don't be perfect with people, because nobody is. I still struggle, but look at me now. I'm not in the same place where I used to be. When you go to church on Sunday, always think, who else can I bring with me today? When you pray for the service in the morning on Sunday, also pray, God, who else can I invite with me to church on Sunday? If you have been saved, number three, and this is the last one, you should begin to mentor people. Take them under your wing. This is my wing, you're under it, right? You should begin to mentor people. Experience is the slowest teacher. It takes forever. Experience is discouraging. We want to take people under a wing so they would take the vision and run with it. Hallelujah. So be a casual evangelist. Bring someone to new life with you. Make sure you have at least one person a year that's you brought that's coming. If you have been saved, mentor somebody, disciple somebody. If you are a businessman, take another businessman under your wing and say, hey, I've been there. If you're a student, take a student under your wing. Make friends. Don't just come to church and say, that's all cool that we're in church, but I don't want to see you the whole week. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you. Thank you for moving today in your spirit, Lord. Thank you for going deep inside of our hearts, God, and transferring this vision, God. God, we want to be a church that reaches people who are far from God and bring them closer to Jesus. We want to be a church that's not ashamed of the gospel, but we stand for the truth in Jesus' mighty name. Make us an evangelist, Lord. Pour out from your spirit, God, and give us this fire. Give us this passion that we cannot contain, Lord. We need you, Jesus. We understand that saved people, those who've been rescued when they were drowning, began to rescue those who still are drowning. Those who've been rescued from traps, rescuing those who are still in traps. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me. Say it with me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to all, and to set the captives free. Hallelujah. Put your hands together and bless God. I have one more question. If you are here today and you're like, how can I save others if I'm not saved? I want to give you that opportunity to give your life to Christ. On a count of three, I want you to raise your hand and keep it high so our ushers can count you. Holy Spirit is here today and He's knocking at the door of your heart. And if you open the door, He will come in. Salvation is very easy. It's you confessing that Jesus is Lord over your life and believing that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. It's confession of your mouth. I'm not going to invite you to the front. It's a private decision. So on the count of three, please raise your hand. One, two, three. Please raise your hand if you want to give your life to Christ. One hand. Thank you so much. Two hands. Thank you. Three hands. Thank you. Four hands. Thank you so much. Come on, clap your hands, church. Celebrate. Hallelujah. Salvation is simple. It's confessing with your mouth and believing with your heart. Now we're going to confess with our mouth. Jesus, save me. Forgive me. Give me a new life. From this moment, I believe that you are the Lord of my life. And I will serve you. Use me, God, for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. I'm forgiven. I'm a child of God. And everybody said loudly, amen. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you came? Hallelujah. Next week, Tom Stammen. And week after that, we're starting a new series called Adam and Eve. It's going to be fun. Adam and Eve series are going to be fun. Now, greet one another, hug one another. If you can turn in your updated information at information desk, please do that. God bless, and we'll see you here next week.